we're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, with us here in studio. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm always having a good time. Except, of course, this week we have some really horrible things to talk about. But right. before we get there, because just want some other ones. I guess there was a stabbing, cutting last night between two homeless people. Is that right?
Well, we got a report on 1800 block of North Blue Angel. I guess Bobby J's Saloon. We got a report that a guy had been cut in the arm, and his description was a homeless guy cut him.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's,
so one
that's where
one
we're at. Now, I don't know if both of them were homeless or not,
okay.
But they were at least at one point inside or near and about this particular saloon.
Okay. And at this point, still looking for that other person?
Yeah, the description changed. It went from the clothing changed, and I'm really not sure what the description is.
Tall, thin brunette became a short, stout blonde, and
yeah. Wait a second. On second thought, is this guy wasn't right. Wearing a blue shirt at all? He was wearing a dress. Who knows?
Okay. Also, we had, and this was right after you and I had talked last week, I think, but we had the shooting that took place at the Whataburger parking lot on Pensacola Boulevard in Boone. Is that right?
Yeah, so one car backs in, is waiting for an order.
Backs into a parking space
over there by the Whataburger. And then another car pulls in nearby. Two people get out and allegedly have a large amount of marijuana with them. And they approach the individual that was in the back seat of that backed in car. They exchange words and also exchange gunfire. So two people were hit. Both of them with very serious injuries, and we did recover 2 pounds of marijuana, and both cars sped away into two different hospitals, and we are still investigating it, still trying to piece things together.
Okay, so, I mean, intended drug deal goes wrong, sideways, people get shot, and you're still trying to figure out exactly what happened, who's to blame, all that.
Well, I can tell you two people were injured, and 2 pounds of marijuana or so was recovered at the scene.
Okay.
And information after that is vague.
Okay. All right. There was another an arrest for somebody from a shooting that was back on Arlington Drive on October 25th. This is Olvin Adone Rojas. Is that right? You guys followed up on that?
Yeah, we have been looking for this individual. I actually don't have the cancellation, but I noticed that. He was an individual that we were looking for, and as I understand, he's in jail now.
Okay. All right. Very good. And then maybe at the lighter end, but still it's a issue you guys dealt with, somebody had taken some stolen credit cards and used them to buy food at Flounders and McGuire's.
Yeah, that's my understanding. A lot of food
at
Flounders and a lot of food at McGuire's. So they steal the cards or they fraudulently use the cards.
Yeah.
And they order a lot of food from these. They were living it up for a good period of time. Those places are good places to eat.
They are.
And unfortunately, they're using other people's money. Can't do that.
No, not allowed under the current rules in the United States of America.
Yeah.
just that.
There must be a law somewhere.
Right. Turning to the horrible big story of the week, and you and I both hate talking about this stuff, but this case is so awful. You guys responded because it's a fire, okay? And it's a fire at a mobile home, and two children wind up dying, 7 and 9, I think. And then you guys investigate, and the ME investigates, and tell us how we got to where we are.
Well, it started out a fire. We weren't the only ones, obviously, to respond. The Escambia County Fire and Rescue, mm-hmm. those guys do a great job. They put the fire out. So there's two adjacent trailers. One trailer is on fire. The fire department comes, puts it out. Then they find out, oh, no, there's two young children.
Yeah.
Ended up being, 8 and 10 or 7 and 10 years old. And now it's become a tragedy. Obviously, it was a fire, and now it is a situation where there's two children that have been burned to death as well. This is early stages of the investigation.
And this is on Friday.
Right, on the 7th. And then we also find out that this guy named John Henry Walston had escaped the fire. And he was suffering from some burns. He went to the hospital. Now we find out that there's another, I think a 12-year-old that had escaped that trailer also. went next door, knocked on the door to get his mother. Again, there's family members staying in both of these trailers. Mother tries to get inside the trailer. It's fully engulfed.
She's trying to rescue the kids.
She's trying to get in to see who was in there and try to help her kids. Ultimately, we work with the medical examiner's office, with the fire marshal's office, and then as bad as the tragedy was, we were able to ascertain that the children were killed not by the fire, but they were killed before the fire was set. So what we had discovered was this piece of work, John Henry Walston, who had assaulted at least one of the children, and then decided he would burn them. He was to kill them. So he killed them, stabbed them, and then he set fire to the trailer, and he got himself out. Luckily, the 12-year-old was able to escape on his own, even though he wasn't with no help from this Walston character.
So the 12-year-old was also intended to be a victim, you think?
Right. There were three children and Walston and a dog inside the trailer when it was set fire. The two children were already stabbed, already killed, and then he saved himself. The dog wasn't able to save himself, obviously, nor were the two children. But there was a 12-year-old that was able to escape. So this, again, a tragedy turned into just an unimaginable act. You think you see stuff on TV, you read books, and you think, oh, who could do something like that? And then you realize that there are people in this world that are evil. There are people that are willing to do this, all of it, just to willing to do all of it, from an assault to a stabbing to a fire to a saving yourself to all of this. It just makes you as bad as it gets.
And a friend of the family, this is, the kids were staying with him. Everybody knew, like, you know, the community. All of this comes as a total shock to them as well, in addition to the loss. Every form of betrayal you could imagine, every form of pain you could imagine. I even think about it in terms of, you know, the firefighters who responded, the EMS who responded, your deputies who responded, the ME who does the investigation, and which is part of what they do, right, is to find out if an accident was an accident or if a suicide was not a suicide, you know, which that's also something they investigate, and to find out real cause of death. And for them to discover this and to be the first ones to have to encounter this reality, and a lot about mental health. We talk a lot about, you know, what your folks and what first responders deal with. It's sometimes the most awful things imaginable. And
you start to think of what goes through the mind of a firefighter. Your job is to put this fire out.
Yeah.
You put the fire out, and then you come up upon a victim. What goes, you know, oh no. I mean,
right.
You're expecting to put the fire out, and I guess the first thing you do is you look for survivors, obviously trying to get people that might need help, and you realize that this is not just a fire. This is a fatality. Then you see a second child, and you realize this is a double fatality. And then at that point, everything else starts kicking in. We always, you know, how this happened, why this happened, because these things aren't, this certainly is not normal.
Right.
Certainly not right. And then, the medical examiner's office determined rather quickly that, these aren't fire injuries, although fire obviously injured the bodies, but that was post-death. And you try not to think about what they went through.
Yeah.
You know, you try not to, because I don't know.
As a parent, person, it's a lot.
The only thing we have is the fact that the community has kind of rallied around them. And the second thing is that the person that did this is going to be held accountable. That there's a picture of this guy. And every time I look at this picture and I'm just thinking, you.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you're going to get yours.
Yeah.
You know,
I appreciated the video that you put out. In the end of your video, you basically said, I don't even know what to say. There's nothing to say. It's when you see something like that. And I mentioned this yesterday, that you think about how the act, horrible act harming these children, horrible act harming these families, horrible act harming the whole community, because we're all wounded by this. And then it poisons all of our relationships with all the people that we normally think we can trust with our kids, and all of the, everything about this is evil across the board. And
no one wants to see a child injured,
right?
Right. And we're, you know, we're everyone, they're everyone's children, right? It takes a village and that sort of thing. And then again, when you think of what people may be going through, have gone through, it just brings the cruelty to the forefront. And I'm an optimist, right? I think
yeah. that,
you know, I think the best of people. I try to think the best of people, but there are times when I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I you know, sometimes good thing I'm a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've told this before, but really good friends of ours when we lived in Phoenix was a detective for Phoenix PD, worked on the child crimes unit. And he had to stop after several years because he had kids. And, you know, he just, I can't do this anymore, which I think of that all the time because I'm so close to you guys and thinking about what your officers go through and what the ME goes through and all of that. Just, again, anyway. On a completely different subject, we do have a parade today. It is Veterans Day, right?
Right, right. It is Veterans Day. I'm going to leave here, maybe don a jacket, because it's a little cool down there.
Yeah, a little bit.
And members of the sheriff's office will participate in the downtown parade, but also the parade on Pensacola Beach, to just say thank you to the veterans.
How many veterans work for the sheriff's office?
You know, I don't have the exact number, but we love to
ballpark,
hire,
quarter, half?
Oh, I would say probably over a quarter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
somewhere between a quarter and a half. Now, I will tell you, it used to be more. And when I first started at the Pensacola Police Department, because I was young,
mm-hmm.
Almost all of the supervisors were former Vietnam era. In fact, I'm here because my dad was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there seemed to
Wait,
me
you're
like
a cop because your dad was a Vietnam vet?
I'm a what?
You're a cop because your dad was a vet?
No, I'm a cop because my dad wore the uniform, and I felt like that was a good, noble cause.
And he was
something
a
like
okay.
that, and he happened to be a veteran. That's why we were here.
Got it. Okay.
I was at that crossroads where should I join the military or should I join law enforcement? And it was one of those things where they both wore the uniform. They both were our jobs and occupations I could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed me at the police department more than, at least quicker than they needed me elsewhere.
And, of course, just for people who may not know, your history in the police department was you went into SWAT, so you went into the most military-esque element right. of law enforcement, and so, you know, certainly worked in that regard. You guys are having coffee with a cop Thursday?
Yes, at the Lucky Goat on North Davis.
Okay.
Now, I have not been there yet, but they delivered some coffee to us during one of our events that we've had a couple weeks ago. And while I'm not a connoisseur of coffee.
I was going to ask you, do you drink coffee?
It sure tasted good. You put a little cream and a lot of sugar in there. You can make a lot of things taste good with sweet and low.
Are you a sweet and low guy?
Whatever it is, whatever color it is.
What color do you put in yours? I'm curious.
I usually mix them because, you know, I'm
a variety.
A little pink, a little blue.
I got you with the pink, good. White, and blue. You know, it's like the American flag-ish sort of pouring
into
your coffee.
One of these
is
going to taste good.
Eventually, I'll get it to be drinkable. I love it. Oh, hey, it's a quick thing, but it happens to be relevant because of the training that John and I got a chance to do out at the driver out of Brunson Field.
Right.
We were watching, and I know you've seen it because, you know, I talked briefly before the show, but this incident took place in Tampa. They were chasing this guy. They've got it on the infrared from the helicopter, and it's a horrible story because they wind up calling off the pursuit, and he still runs at a high speed, drunk apparently, into a bar, kills four people, wounds 17 more, runs away, has a gun. Like, there's a whole story involved in this. The part, and of course, it brings to mind the question of do you chase, do you not chase, and what speed and what's safe. The only thing that I noticed is when I was watching the video is, and I don't want to say how you do it, but I will say that how you don't do it is what it seemed like what they did was not a good pit technique. And I wondered if it was just the speed made it hard to do, or if, because you guys do training on this, maybe not every agency does specific training on this.
Right. I think that, you know, we see them on TV a lot, and you obviously experienced it. If you can get a little bit to the right, a little left of the bumper, you can spin. The idea is spin the car, put them in the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's difficult to do. And I didn't know what the deputy knew or whatever the officer knew at that time. So I want to refrain from judging on what they're doing. I tell our people, if you can chase him, you can put him in a ditch and do that as quickly as you possibly can. Sometimes that means you're not bumper to bumper. Sometimes you have to, and ram's a strong word. Sometimes you have to affect a stop. And it depends on what you're stopping them for. Typically speaking, traffic, we don't chase them, but you won't know until you turn the lights on.
Right.
And we turn the lights on, they take off and like, okay, now what? So you turn the lights back off and they keep on going. And, you know, tragedies like this can take place. I think that there is a level of personal responsibility here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bad guy there that his terrible actions caused the death of several people. And you said it was a gun. I don't know all the details about that, why he had a gun. Was that why he was running? Was he have a license? And that's the sad part, is sometimes these people that stop or that don't stop for traffic, it could be so simple. It could be a license violation. It could be even a DUI. And you need to stop or obviously tragedies can
And it
take
sounds
place.
Like in this case, it was based on some of the comments he made after the fact. It sounds like that's what was involved here. And by the way, I appreciate that, because I probably earlier in the show, I was maybe a little bit too flippant about the cops didn't perform the pit right, you know, that, but to me, it highlights the value of the training that you guys do, because you're equipping your officers to have the best chance in these very dangerous, volatile, quick circumstances to be able to accomplish the end result, which is keeping people safe and stopping the chase, which is that was the thing that was impressive to me, is having gone through that. So Sheriff Chip Simmons, thank you as always for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the day. It's Veterans Day. Enjoy the parade.
You bet. Y'all take
Stay
care.
Warm.